what I was going to say. So I won't repeat what you just said. But Christian Arcan is here in studio with us as well. And by the way, that was Kendrick Perkins talking about the relationship between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. At least he didn't say you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube like we've heard 48,000 times.
That ship has sailed. Cat's out of the bag.
That's right. What was the one thing you can't?
Can't unring the bell.
Yeah, no, you can't do any of those things. But I was saying earlier, you know, it could end all that if Jason Tatum just put out one tweet saying, I love this guy or something like that. I don't know. Maybe that can end it. But there has been so many angles and so many different things to read from the last 48 hours with the failed Giannis trade. So we need to get an expert on here, someone who can straighten us out. Noah Dalzell, this is her first time on the show with us. She's a writer for Celtics Blog and the You Got Boston podcast. You should follow her at actually, you know what? I want to make sure I'm doing it. Is it at Noah Dalzell, Noah?
Yeah, that's perfect.
All right, excellent. She is a must-follow if you are a Celtics fan. And so, Noah, what do you make of what's happened over the last 48 hours as far as the future of Jaylen Brown on the Celtics is concerned?
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss here. And I'd be lying if I said I knew for sure what was going on and what's going to happen in the future. I don't think anybody really knows. But my read on the situation is that at some point since the conclusion of the regular season, you know, after the playoffs, you know, when they blew the 3-1 lead, between then and now, something along the lines of the relationship between the Celtics and Jaylen has been, you know, hindered. And whether it's exclusively because they offered him in a trade to Milwaukee for Giannis or because of other things that we don't really have the kind of context right now, I'm not sure. But listening to Brad Stevens talk, I was at the Auerbach Center the other night after the first round of the draft, and normally he would just say confidently, you know, Jaylen Brown is a critical part of our future. We want him here. We are going to work to make this happen. And he didn't say that. And I think he could have just said, listen, when a generational Hall of Fame player like Giannis becomes available, you have to inquire. And that's what we did. And we're really happy with our core. And I feel like I was a little surprised. If you'd asked me, we've been doing this before that press conference, I would have said, I think Jaylen's going to stick around. And this was more exclusive to just a Giannis offer. But now, in the days to follow, I get the sense that this might be the end of the road for him in Boston.
Yeah, no, you asked Brad a great question about the whole, you know, Jaylen Brown said that he would be around for 10 years and or he would play here for 10 years if you had him. And you're right. It was like it seemed like Brad was using past tense when talking about Jaylen Brown and his time here and how much they've loved having him here. And now you've even got Brian Windhorst saying that he's gone. Like he's 100% convinced. If you had to put a percentage on whether or not he is going to be a member of the Celtics at the beginning of next season, what would that percentage be?
I think there's like a 30% chance he'll be a Celtic next year.
Wow.
And that's just, again, that's just my intuition. And I honestly don't love to say that because I think that they're much better off having him here in Boston. Unless they were to get a player like Giannis, like they're probably not going to get better with this kind of trade. But that's just my gut feeling. Like I have a hard time envisioning him here back in Boston after the way the summer has unfolded. And we do know that this team feels like they were not good enough, right? That was like where I first realized it was not just a bad series against Philadelphia. Brad Stevens looked at us 2 days later and said, we were not good enough. Our record wasn't as good as it seemed. We weren't good against good teams. And I think that has a lot to do with what we're seeing here is that there's not a lot of ways to dramatically change this roster if you keep two Supermax contracts on the books. So, I don't think he's going to be back anymore. I feel like all the indications are pointing against that, but I'm kind of bummed to say that, honestly, because I think that there's a good chance that this could be a mistake for this franchise.
By the way, a little bit of breaking news. Jaylen Brown has just tweeted that he will be going live on his Twitch stream at 5 p.m. Jeez. Eastern, so he's going to be talking again. He, along with Whale and Smino,
oh, wow.
Who I'm not familiar with. So
Wale?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Wally.
Yeah, who's actually playing across the street here from Fenway Park.
That shows you how old and white I am.
It's a rapper, so, Ken.
Okay. Well, they'll be going. They'll be going live at 5. So, Noah, a quick question, though. If you're right and they do move on, and it seems like everybody's going that way, who are they in the market for? I don't even know who to root for anymore. Who is the big target that they're looking at?
I don't know. I mean, it has to be a front court player, right? That's what this roster is currently lacking. I know Chris Mannix reported that other teams speculated there was some interest in Evan Mobley. I'm not sure that trade honestly makes sense for Cleveland or for Boston, but we'll see. And then you look around the league, it's like there's Rudy Gobert with the Wave, you know, or Minnesota's made their big splash for LaMelo Ball. I'd be surprised if they moved on from yet another piece of last year's team. There's nobody that's really exciting me that much. I mean, I like Trey Murphy from New Orleans. Reportedly, he's they're looking to move on from him, or they're very much open to trading him. I think he's a great scorer. He's somebody that's young. His best days are probably ahead of him, but he's not Jaylen Brown, right? So it's possible that what we see here, now that the Giannis ship has sailed, that they turn him for, you know, they trade him for parts and picks and things that maybe down the road make this team better, but in the immediate short term make this team worse. And instinctively I'm against that, because it feels like this core, this championship window has not yet closed, and you still have Jason Tatum in his prime and Derek White, and I feel like they could still make this thing work. But listen, it's hard to also doubt Brad Stevens with the track record that he has, where almost every move he's made as general manager has, you know, turned out to be the right move when you look back at it. So he knows what he's doing. It's just right now it does feel like I have to wonder if maybe Jaylen wants out, or if there's a reason why there's an urgency to trade him. And maybe there's not, and maybe my gut instinct is wrong. I wouldn't be disappointed. But sitting at that press conference, all Brad had to say is, you know, we want him here in Boston in the fall, and that's our hope, and that's our intention, and we're going to work hard to make that happen. And I would think, okay, maybe there's a relationship to be mended, but they want him back. And that's just not the way that he sounded at the podium.
Yeah, totally. Noah, we're going to put you on hold for 1 second because your phone's a little cracked. We're going to reestablish your phone connection. So hang on 1 sec. We're going to put you on hold, and Jackson's going to call you right back. And in the meantime, Stiz, could you play the clip of Shams talking about this trade that LaMelo Ball was just involved in and how it affected Jaylen Brown, or how they were targeting Jaylen Brown as well? Do you happen to have that clip by any chance there, Stiz?
This is why the Timberwolves, though, made this deal, right? Like, they needed an infusion of talent, someone at that point guard slot. They want someone to come in and take the onus off of Anthony Edwards when they need it. And there were two paths that the Timberwolves were taking the last 24, 48 hours. It was seeing, can we go get LaMelo Ball? Or can we go get Jaylen Brown? They had conversations with the Celtics about Jaylen Brown the last 24 hours, but it always comes down to price. How much do you have to pay? Do you have to give up 2-3 of your core pieces? They're not willing to trade Jaden McDaniels at this point. Mm-hmm. Him and Anthony Edwards, that relationship, how much they feel like Jaden McDaniels has taken that step to be a star caliber player. So if you can go get LaMelo Ball, yes, you're getting off of Naz Reid. He's a high-level rotation player for you. He was going to step into the starting role.
Okay, that's all
role.
I need from Shams. It doesn't it seem, you know, maybe I'll ask Noah. Is Noah back? Let's see. We got her.
There she is.
Noah, thanks. Sorry about that. We just had to adjust your phone connection real quick. Noah, do you think that, because we just heard, obviously, that, you know, LaMelo Ball was chosen over Jaylen Brown. It sounded like the team wanted to go one way or the other to make the trade, that being the Timberwolves. And then they didn't bite, the Bucks did not bite at what was being offered up, essentially Jaylen Brown and a couple of picks from Brad Stevens. Do you think that maybe the Celtics have overestimated Jaylen Brown's value in the eyes of other teams?
I mean, it's possible. I've talked to people around the league, and his value is supposedly still very high. So I've seen a lot of people in Boston say, well, if his value is so high, then why haven't they traded him yet? It doesn't mean that there aren't good packages out there that would bring back value. It just means that there's not a package that's been worth pulling the trigger for yet, right? It's possible they're considering various things. The Celtics keep things very close to the vest. So I wouldn't be, you know, it could be this hour where all of a sudden he gets traded for a haul, and we're all kind of wondering why we had that conversation. But the return on LaMelo Ball, in my eyes, was pretty weak. It's effectively Naz Reid and a first-round pick and a couple of pick swaps that might actually not pan out, because I don't know that Minnesota is going to be a worse team than Charlotte those years, right? So it's effectively a first-round pick and Naz Reid, who is a high-level role player, but somebody who's been coming off the bench, right? So it's very possible that Boston would have scoffed at that return and wanted much more than that for Jaylen. I would be surprised if they would have accepted that return. So I know I've seen the reporting of, like, they chose the LaMelo package over Jaylen, but yeah, we have no reason to think it's for the same value. And I do know that his value is much higher now than it was a year ago at this time. Like, many people I've spoken to have said, you know, teams were very impressed by what he was able to do during this past season without Jason Tatum as the number one guy, the kinds of performances he had. And because it ended so sour, I think a lot of people, even locally, have forgotten what that year looked like. and how effective he was and how many big time performances he had. But because at the end of the day, all that matters is the playoffs in Boston, right? Like we don't care about January, but teams were impressed with how he played. So I'd be surprised if they do move him if it's for a weak return.
Noah, there's been a lot made about Jason Tatum and his influence or maybe impact on all of these proceedings. Any word on Joe Mazzulla and if he's had any sort of input on these potential trade packages or anything like that? Is he part of this? Is he someone that they're sort of going to get input on?
Yeah, I mean, Joe and Brad have a very close relationship, and they have for a long time. It's a unique dynamic because obviously he was one of Brad's assistant coaches, and so it kind of goes all the way back to that. And I know that they've been in regular communication. I know that they've both been in the building, and it's like any decisions that the Celtics make is not made in a vacuum, right? Like they've committed to Joe long term, and I think that he is somebody that is very much a decision maker, just like Brad is. Obviously, he's not the ultimate guy that's pulling the trigger. So I'm not sure exactly where he kind of lands on all of this, but I will say the Jason Tatum stuff is interesting because it would just be so out of line or out of left field for him to get publicly involved in this sort of thing. Like, I'm not sure. And I know that they're actually both, I think, in the same city in Europe right now, Jason and Jalen. I have no idea if they've had conversations or not, but like I've seen the pressure of like, oh, why isn't he tweeting or why isn't he speaking out? When have we ever seen anything like that? And especially for somebody like Jason Tatum, who is so buttoned up and so PR trained and never really says things like that. Like if there is a back and forth right now between Brad Stevens and Jalen and an open line of communication, and they're trying to figure out what's best and where both parties want to go, for Tatum to get publicly involved would be like pretty unprecedented. So I'm not sure why that became like a big theme and critique both in Boston and nationally around kind of how he should behave right now.
How would you characterize their relationship then?
Tatum and Browns?
Yeah.
I think highly professional. Like, you know, there's an outside view if people want them to be really close friends. I don't think I have never gotten the sense that they're really close friends. But they've been kind of co-leaders of this franchise for a long time. And getting to the top of the mountain in 2024 was very rewarding, I think, for both of them because they did it with each other. And up until this point, they have committed, they both spoken about this publicly, privately, like whenever they've hit a crossroad in the road, they've looked at each other and said, you know, do you still want to be here? Do I still want to be here? We both want to keep doing this, right? That doesn't mean that can't change at some point, and maybe this is the summer where that does change. But to date, I think they just very much respect each other. They push each other to be better. But they're not best friends, right? And I think that if it would be, like if Tatum and White were the two co-stars, like those guys have obviously have more of like a public-facing friendship, I think people's questions around this stuff would be absolved.
Well, Noah, your opinion has completely contradicted the insider named Robot Dave on Twitter, who said that they do not get along at all. So I actually was sent that, and I was like, hang on, did anybody check the name of the person who tweeted this out? It's at Robot Dave. I don't think that person with, I think, maybe 300 followers is someone I should trust, Noah.
Yeah, and again, it's like, I'm not trying to sell this vision of like, oh, these two guys. Like, I see sometimes the fans have these Twitter edits, and they're like, these two guys love each other so much, they're best friends, like, you could never separate them. I think they're two guys that have been competitive over the years. Like, they play, they're the same age, same position. Like, there are some natural factors that have made this dynamic so, you know, hot button for the national media. But yeah, again, I've been around them for the last few years. I've never gotten the sense that there's like a problem there. And I've never heard that from anybody else that there's a problem there. There are a lot of egos in this business, right? There's a lot of people a lot of relationships that sour at times and people that snap at each other and all that. And this to me just feels like a tension point that's not really there that we've just put a lot of time and energy into.
Well, Noah, it looks like you're going to be on Twitch soon. Sitting in.
That's for sure.
T-minus 45 minutes. Yeah, that's right. Well, Noah, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. You can follow her at @NoahDalZell. Did I spell that correct, Noah?
Yeah, that's correct. Thanks so much.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That comes from somebody with the last name certainly. So I got to know how to spell last names correctly. She also writes for the Celtics blog and the You Got Boston podcast. Thank you, Noah, for coming on with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Oh, Twitch. He's going to Twitch, and he's going to talk about Jason. How great would it be if he went on Twitch, and it opens up, and you click, and the first face you see Jason Tatum.
And Whale.
That was huge.
And Whale.
Yeah. And how is Wale? Should I be in the know?
Wale's he's good. Yeah.
Is very, very good rapper.
Yeah, Wale. But
is he going to rap on stream tonight?
My cousin directed a Wale video. Wale. Hey, how about that?
Wow.
3 degrees of awesome. So I kind of know
which one.
I know.
Right.
You know?
Payne, the one who's Up and Vanished. He did that whole podcast thing.
Cool.
All right, 617-779-7937. We will take your calls on all things Jaylen Brown and Whale right after this.